Amen. That is good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 5. And we should finish off chapter 5 tonight, Nehemiah 5. And we'll begin at verse 14. As you can tell, we are having the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. And the Bible does say that we are to examine ourselves before we observe the Lord's Supper. So obviously this is that opportunity to let the Word of God speak to our hearts and show us what we really look like and show us what we are and whatever we need to get right. And I trust that we will ask the Lord to speak to our hearts as we go through this passage of Scripture, Nehemiah 5 and verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 2nd and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days' store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. And I take my title from verse 19. Think upon me, my God, for good. Father, I pray you bless the preaching and ask you to help us now to have a better understanding of this passage and a better understanding of anything that needs to happen in our lives, any changes we need to make, any decisions we need to make. I pray you'll speak to us now. Teach us from thy word and convict us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Think upon me, my God, for good. That's a good thing to pray. To have God thinking upon you for good is certainly a good thing. It is a good thing for us to know that God is thinking upon us for good. And then he goes on and adds, according to all that I have done for this people. And, you know, Nehemiah 5 has been about the poor and the difficulties that they were going through, the people where Nehemiah went to build the wall, the people in Jerusalem, and the people on the outskirts. The people were struggling. And financially, as we've already learned, they were very poor. There was not a lot of food. Many of them had lost their land, as we talked about. And in Nehemiah 5, the first message I preached on this was called The Cry of the Poor, and how they cried out, and certainly there are poor people all around us. Then I preached on Will Ye Even Sell Your Brethren? And the idea of taking advantage of those who are poor, taking advantage of those who are already having a difficult time and taking advantage of that for our own gain, and talked about that. And then the last time I preached out of Nehemiah was the message I consulted with myself. And you remember how Nehemiah was angry at those who had taken advantage of the poor, had taken advantage of their brethren, and in his anger, the Bible says he was very angry, but he said, I consulted with myself. And instead of blowing up, instead of making a scene, he got the job done and got the problem taken care of. And boy, it's always good to pause and consult with yourself and just stop and think a little bit and let God show you the best avenue. Because again, the best thing to happen there was a victory for the people rather than just making a scene and causing all kinds of things as far as him being angry. And so obviously consulting with himself was a good thing, and we talked about that. Now I continue here, and this passage continues with the theme of the down and out, those that are going through a tough time, those that are because of just all kinds of conditions are having a hard time, and in fact they're in bondage because of debt and because of lack of funds and all of that. And now though, this last part of this passage really deals with everything from Nehemiah's perspective and his own personal way that he dealt with his things. Now, I want you, you have to remember as you come to this passage that Nehemiah is a historian and he records history. And also you have to remember that these words are inspired by God. I say all that because I don't want you to think Nehemiah's bragging, because he's not bragging here. Nehemiah is not saying, well, look what I've done. He certainly, in his prayer to God, he's not saying, hey, God, look what I've done. What are you going to do for me? That is not what he's doing. Nehemiah is simply talking about recording by inspiration of God exactly what he said to God. And again, we need to look at that in verse 19. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah captures a great truth about God that, boy, I hope you don't miss it. I mean, God is very concerned with what Nehemiah did for his people. God is very concerned about what you and I do for God's people. God tells us, as we talk about in my Sunday school class, God tells us we are to love one another. God tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. God tells us that we are to be long-suffering to one another. We are to be patient with one another. We are to put up with one another, and we are to help one another. God is very, very concerned. And when Nehemiah prays and tells God, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people, he's not bragging. It's not recorded so we can all say, wow, boy, that Nehemiah, he was a great guy. It's recorded because he really knows that God's been keeping track of what he did. Now, Scripture again. It is a record of what took place, and it is a record here showing us a good example of how Nehemiah treated these people. A good example. Now, you know, we've already seen how that others took advantage of the people, took advantage of their poverty, took advantage of their desperation to get to have food, so they robbed them of their lands. Took advantage of them in many, many ways. We've already seen that. But I want you to see tonight, and God wants us to see, as we finish off chapter 5, how did Nehemiah deal with this situation? And again, beyond how he dealt with those who took advantage, how did he personally handle it? What personally did he do? You know, it's one thing for us to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong, you need to treat these people right. But Nehemiah also shows us, and again, God shows us, Nehemiah did them right. Nehemiah handled the situation very well. And by the way, as we go through this passage, Nehemiah is not criticizing the other governors. You know, it would appear that he's saying, well, the other governors did it this way, but here's what I did, and obviously I ought to get a pat on the back. That's not what he's doing here. He's simply recording what took place, how he handled it, and I think there's some great lessons for us here as we continue. Let me just give you these points. Number one, what Nehemiah didn't take from them. What he did not take from them. Verse 14, he says this, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, by the way, you'll notice here he was appointed to be the governor. That is an appointment, obviously, from the king. That is an appointment that comes with it responsibility. It also comes with it whatever pay the governor was going to receive. He was appointed to be their governor, and you'll notice here, he says that is 12 years. So for 12 years, as he has this job, he has this appointment, he holds this public office for 12 years, He is due a certain pay. He is due the whatever the allotment is for the governor, that is what he is due. That is his pay. But notice what he said. He said, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. He said, we have not done that. So here in the city, there was a certain amount of money that it had been decreed would be the pay that goes to the governor. And we find out in verse 15 that the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people. They had taken bread and wine, so they took their food. Beside that, 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, so their servants were paid. And so Nehemiah is simply saying, this is how the governors were paid. So he's appointed a job. He goes to that job, and this is what he should expect to receive as the governor. But you know, it's very interesting. This food and this money, according to verse 15, is what he should have received. It is what he could have received. But and this was set forth by the past governors. It was set forth by the government, and it was due to Nehemiah. But here's the problem. Had there been a pool of money that was coming in from all sorts of areas and other communities, had there been this large amount of money set aside, I think Nehemiah probably would have taken the money. I think he probably would have taken the benefit. But you see, this amount of money and this food and everything, it was a burden for the people. It was a burden the people would have to come up with. The 40 shekels of silver, all the food and feeding Nehemiah, plus all of his servants and taking care of them, that would all come out of the pockets of the people. And the people were already burdened. The people were already going through a difficult time. The people already had their property mortgaged. Everything was, they were in terrible condition. You know, Nehemiah comes in and he could have said, "All right, I want my pay." And the people would have had to pay. But instead he came in and said, "I don't want it." That's an amazing thing. Now again, Nehemiah didn't want you to pat him on the back. All right, when you get to heaven, don't pat Nehemiah on the back and say, "Boy, you're a good guy." But that is exactly what happened. What Nehemiah didn't take from them. He did not take what was due to him, because it would be a hardship on the people. So you say, well, how did he make it? He used his own resources. That's exactly how he made it. So that tells you something about the cupbearer job. The cupbearer job was a good job. Does anybody have an idea why it was such a good job? Why it would pay much just to bear the cup? Why, Kenny? Oh, yeah, it was kind of a risky job, wasn't it? Yeah, because the cupbearer, he would not only bear the cup, but he would also drink from the cup before the king. And if somebody was trying to poison the king, that'd be a real problem for the cupbearer. It was a lucrative job. It paid quite a bit, as you can tell. And we can see that. And I don't remember that far back to when we started on this series on Nehemiah, but I don't remember if we talked very much about it. But you know, God knew that he would have to have this kind of a job. God knew that he would have to make that kind of money. You know what's exciting? And I found several people here in the church, and I'm sure there's more. We had a cottage prayer meeting at our house for the deacons the other night. Boy, we had a good time. I mean, we were at our place, and it was, I started to say we were there a long time. I was there all night, actually. But we had just a great time praying, and I found out several other people have been praying that God would bless the jobs of our people. And I thought, you know, that is such a good thing. That's what I've been praying. And I hear of people every now and then, you know, I got a raise. You know, God gave me a promotion. You know, isn't it amazing? My boss came to me and told me that they want to pay me more. And, you know, we're in Michigan. It's not supposed to be like that. We're in Michigan. People are supposed to be having a tough time. But many are. But, you know, there's some, as Nehemiah. And all these folks are having a tough time. Nehemiah had a lot of money saved back from being the cupbearer. Somebody says, "Boy, he sure was lucky." There's no such thing. There is no such thing. God knew that Nehemiah, and by the way, as Nehemiah is taking his paycheck week after week after week from being the king's cupbearer, as he's taking that and he's setting it aside, and maybe for years he sets that money aside, he doesn't know why, but God knows. God knows. You know, some of you folks with savings accounts, you should always pray and beg God, "What do you want me to do with that, God? Because you cannot take it with you." Oh, I knew it was going to get a little quiet on that. The only people that amen are people that don't have savings accounts. That's when we get real spiritual, right? Yeah, bless God. Amen. You know, or we've got that $5, you know, that we're holding on to. That's right. I'm going to give it to God. Well, amen. I'm just saying, is there a reason? I mean, is there a reason you've got those CDs? You know, I mean, is there? I'm waiting on a rainy day. All right. Well, you know what? When you go to heaven, you can't take it with you. You ought to think about that. All right. Amen. I just thought I'd throw it out. It's not in the notes. I just thought it was a good thing. Look, judging from the atmosphere, maybe not. But you know, he saved his money for such a time as this. I love that. Absolutely love it. Because he knew. By the way, how do you suppose he got those people behind him so well? Hey, let me tell you, when they found out they did not have to take care of him as far as his finances, because it was coming out of their pockets, when they found out they weren't going to suffer anymore because of this governor coming in, I guarantee they loved him. Amen. I mean, they loved him. It's good stuff. You know, I think about people that get paid a lot. You ought to thank God for that. But don't be selfish with it. Amen. Don't be selfish with it. Let me tell you, thank God for your job. Thank God for a good job. Well, we got folks in this. It's amazing. It's amazing. How's the offering looking today? Tim says, you know, it's just been amazing, honestly. I look out and I know, you know, people are on vacation. Summer is usually terrible. And it's just, God's just been so good. And, you know, you've got a job and you've got, I just think of Nehemiah. And you know, here he comes in and he says, I've got more saved. I've got more set aside. I mean, for 12 years. He does this, and he's there off and on for 12 years, and he's able to do that out of his own resources. That's because he really cared about the people. Now, I'm going to throw out a political statement here. Are you ready? Those who hold public office are supposed to serve the public, not themselves. And you know what? When it's voting time, you need to really look hard at that. You really need to look hard at it. I'm talking about if you're going to serve. Public office. Okay, you're supposed to serve the public, not yourself. Speaking of the mayor of Detroit. If you want an example of someone who wants to serve themselves, he doesn't care what it costs that city. He doesn't care what his defense is going to cost the city. He doesn't care what kind of chaos or how nasty it makes that city look. That man should have resigned a long time ago. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that out. Huh? You know, there ought to be, and Nehemiah really, really, and I didn't spend time on this. I will just for a minute here. But he really establishes accountability. And I like that. He establishes accountability. Notice chapter 5 and verse 7. And we just kind of went past this quickly. But when he's getting after the people, after he consulted with himself, he rebukes the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother. And again, he was charging them he was charging them interest on the money that they borrowed. And they were making a fortune off of them and making them more and more financially dependent on them. Notice what he did, though. I set a great assembly against them. You know what that is? That's accountability. He set a great assembly. He brought everybody together and said, all right, here's the turkeys that have done this. Now that, I promise you, it'll cause a lot of stuff to happen. That accountability thing is a good thing. You know what? If you're going to be in public office, if you're going to be in front of people, if you're going to lead, then you better be accountable for what you're doing. And he brought the big assembly together. And I mean, you know, Flavius, did you do that? And then all these people are, you know, they're all watching him. And they all know. And what's Flavius going to say? Amen? Yeah. Throckius? That would be old Throckmorton. Did you do that to the Barocius's over here? You know, and they're all sitting, the whole family. You know, what's he going to say? What's good stuff? That accountability stuff, that's good. And by the way, did you know we're all going to give account? One of these days is going to be big. You know, what did you have? Okay, what'd you do with it? I preached this morning. Moses, what's in your hand? Well, I got a rod. Okay. You going to give it to me? You going to let me use it? Okay, what do you have? You going to let God use it? Huh? Amen. And one of these days, you know, she hath done what she could. That's the standard. Have you done what you could with what you have? Well, I didn't have what they... That's not it. The widow gave a mite, but it was all she had. You know, when's the last time you laid your wallet on the altar? Now, I wouldn't leave it there because somebody else will take it. That was the greatest invitation I've ever had. No, but thank God, my answer. But when is the last time you said, God, here's my checkbook? Now, I'm not saying give it all. I'm just saying, would you be willing to give it all? If God told you? Huh? She hath done what she could. Question, have you done what you could with what you have? See, it's never in Scripture. Who did the most? It's did they do what they could with what they had? And that's how it's going to be when we give account. It's going to be, well, you had a mouth. Did you speak for me? You had ears. Did you listen? Nehemiah did not take the wage that he could have taken. By the way, he wouldn't have been sinful had he taken it. But he felt compassion for the people. Also in verse 16, it says, he also says, neither bought we any land. You talk about some good deals out there. You talk about some real good deals. Oh, there were. People were starving. Hey, I'll give you a meal for your 20 acres. I mean, people were starving. But he didn't take advantage of the people. That's an awesome thing. And it's a great testimony for Nehemiah. By the way, it backs up what he said to the other people that had charged usury. Don't take advantage of your brethren. Number one, what Nehemiah didn't take from them. Number two, why Nehemiah didn't take from them. And I've just written down several things as Scripture shows us here. The first reason Nehemiah didn't take from them was he had compassion. I mean, he's the one that asked the question, and I preached on it a couple weeks ago, will you sell your brethren? You know, Nehemiah knew that we are to love one another. He knew that. Verse 18, he said, because the bondage was heavy upon this people, he said, I can't take advantage of them. They're already, the bondage is already bad enough. I'm not going to add to it. They had every right to draw the wage, but he said, you know what? I care about these people. I love these people. And I'm not going to take... You know, people may owe you something. Maybe money, maybe labor, maybe some item or something like that, some service or something like that. But again, you know, you have every right to do the same thing. If they're in a pinch, if things are tough, maybe you might want to have compassion too. Nehemiah had compassion. That's one reason why he didn't take from them. But he says very clearly in verse 15, he says, but so did not I because of the fear of God. Now that's an interesting thing. Because of the fear of God. Was it wrong? Would it have been wrong for him to take the wage appointed for the governor? No, but he says the fear of God. Now I don't think he was afraid God was going to punish him. Don't miss this now. I don't think he was afraid that God would punish him for taking the wage, because it wasn't wrong to get paid. But I think he was afraid of losing God's blessing. You know, honestly, we ought to fear more that God wouldn't bless us than we would ever fear that God would punish us. I believe that he was afraid that God would not bless him. Notice verse 19 again. We'll go back to it, but think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah knew, hey, who gave him the job as the cupbearer? Who made it possible for Nehemiah to have all the savings that he had? Who made it possible for Nehemiah to have all the animals that he had? To have all the ability that he had? It was God. And he wanted God to continue to bless him. He wanted God to continue to pour out his blessings on him. And so for Nehemiah to do what he did, by the way, it didn't hurt Nehemiah to do what he did. obviously, Scripture nowhere shows that Nehemiah ever became involved in poverty or anything. He just didn't hoard it all for himself. He let it be used by God. And he knew that God would just keep pouring it out. Oh, listen, when we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we aren't willing to let God have all of us and all that we have, then we ought to be afraid of losing the blessings of God Almighty. You know, Scripture is very clear. It is impossible to outgive God. You cannot do it. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Boy, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That ought to be happening in church. That ought to be happening all the time. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's good stuff, isn't it? Charity there being the word love. Agape love. What's that? That's putting others before myself. And he calls it fervent charity. That means going out of our way to help other people. Fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I'm going to help so-and-so again. They're always in a mess. Yeah, that's not Nehemiah. You know, it's interesting as you study this, there were probably a few folks there that had messed up themselves. And that's why they were broke. They had made foolish decisions themselves. And that's why their lives were a mess. But he doesn't differentiate between any of them. Isn't that good? Are y'all out there tonight? I mean, I think that's so good. You know, we always want to look around. Well, it's their own fault they did this. It's everybody. It's our own fault all the time. We're sinners. Nehemiah didn't seem to care about that. You know what he cared about? He cared about the fact that I want God to keep blessing me, so I'm going to give. And I'm going to do whatever I can. And I can do this. You know, I can do this is what he's saying. I have no problem with coming up with the every day, coming up with one ox and six sheep. I can do that. And some fowls. I can come up with that. I can feed all at my table instead of breaking the backs of the people that I came to build a wall for. He said, I can handle that. I've got it in my savings account. You know, I'll go get a withdrawal every now and then and get enough money. I can take care of it. And he knew he couldn't. You can't outgive God. And he said, God, I want you to bless me. The fear of God. What's another reason why he didn't take from the people? Well, I think another reason was it would shame those who did take advantage of the people. You know, people are convicted by light. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And you know, when you start doing right, you'll find that there are people don't like that because they're convicted about that. You start helping people, you start being a blessing. I'll tell you one thing, you that are in the little gossip groups and something, you take a stand sometime and say, hey, stop talking about that person and take your stand. Oh, you'll find out real quick people don't like that. That will cause all kinds of issues to take place. You will become the subject. Yeah. Ooh. Bad. See, he wanted to shame the others. Yeah, it's like the widow. I mean, that widow that gave that mite, all those rich people watching her, you know, oh, look at her, here she comes. You know, and she throws in that mite, and Jesus said she gave more than anybody. She did? Yeah, yeah. Palladius, she gave more than you did.
Well, I gave 5,000 mites.
Yeah, but you've got a million mites. She gave everything she had. Ooh, wow. It's good stuff. I mean, boy, you talk about shaming people. You know, I think about, we were talking to Al Morin the other day. And Brother Morin, he can barely talk. I mean, you can barely hear him. And he can barely write. But he's got a whole stack of tracts. And as we were talking to him, he wrote the word saved. Barely could read it. His hand shakes so badly. And barely could read it, but he wrote saved. I said, you talk about saved? Somebody gets saved? Next thing he wrote was Robert. And you could barely read it. But I said, did Robert get saved? And he got a big old smile on his face. They said, you lead Robert to the Lord? Did Robert get saved? Amen. I don't know how he did it. I don't have any idea. I can't even begin to imagine. Except giving him a gospel tract, maybe pointing to the verses. I don't know. But hey, you know what? I stood there kind of ashamed. Yeah, like you're kind of sweating a little bit right now. That's pretty good stuff. Huh? You know, Nehemiah, here these guys. These guys are all rich too. What are you taking advantage of your brethren for? You don't need it.
Well, we're trying to build it up, saving for that rainy day.
Shame the others. Why else did he not take from them? Because he wanted to be a good example. Which is opposite of being selfish. You know, in our day and age, everybody wants their rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. One of the things I get so frustrated with unions about is this attitude that, well, we deserve hell is what every one of us deserves. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for good jobs. But I'm telling you this, my rights thing, you know, well, they're shipping all of our jobs off somewhere else. That's because people lost track in just being grateful for what they had. We're losing track of this stuff. And being thankful. Look at Acts 20, verse 35. I know it gets quiet on me. Acts 20, verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men... Wait a minute, that's not it. That's a good verse. Good story. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I want you to think just for a second, all right? Where do you want to be? Which end do you want to be on? You want to be on the receiving end? Yeah. Okay, so you want to be poor. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Is God in charge of all this? He is. I promise you, He is. Okay, which end do you want to be on? You want to be on the receiving end? Eh. Okay, you want to be on the giving end? Uh-huh. Why aren't you? You say, preach, that's a trap. I put myself in the very same questioning. Which end do I want to be on? Do I want to be on the receiving end or on the giving end? Now, it's not like we necessarily have a choice, but I promise you this, the way to be on the giving end is start giving. You say, but I don't have it. Wait a minute. The way to be on the giving end is to start giving. Okay? Right. Or you want to be on the receiving end, because you can be on the receiving end. And there are folks on the receiving end because of financial. I'm not making fun. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just asking you, where do you want to be? Which end do you want to be? Because you're going to be on one of them. Which end do you want to be? Do you want to receive? Okay, then you need to be poor. You need to be broke. Absolutely, positively, or you want to be on the giving side of it, start giving. Amen. But I don't have, but you have more than somebody, so start giving. There's people you say, but all I have is a dollar. Okay, well, but see, your dollar is worth as much as another guy's $100. Comparatively, everybody can give. So why don't we? Because we're selfish? It's better to give than to receive. And if Jesus says it's better, then we all can. We all can give. You ought to support the weak. You suppose there's, if you look around, is there somebody weaker than you? Is there somebody worse off than you? Is there somebody having a tougher time than you? Help them out. That's what Nehemiah did. You say, well, he helped in a big way. The size of the way doesn't matter to God. You're either a giver or a receiver. Better to receive so you can give. And receive so you can give. Did you ever think overtime might be God's way of giving to you so you can give to somebody else? Oh, it's so quiet. Well, no, it's not really an amen, Steve. It's kind of an oh me. But number three, what Nehemiah gave. So Nehemiah not only did not take from them, and the reason he didn't take from them were because he had compassion, because of the fear of God, because he wanted to shame the others, because he was wanting to be a good example. But then, on the other side of that, Nehemiah gave. And in verse 16, it tells us, verses 16 through 18, it tells what he gave. First of all, he gave his own labor. Verse 16, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. I believe that Nehemiah was right out there working with him. Now, he not only physically worked, but I think he obviously planned everything and he directed everything. I mean, he was in charge. He gave his labor. I mean, governors aren't usually involved like Nehemiah was involved. Remember, the trumpeter stood by him to direct everybody. Nehemiah was right out there. You know, you picture in those days, the governor, he's sitting back in the room and somebody's got a big old fan, you know, and they're dropping grapes into his mouth or chocolate chips or something. And Nehemiah worked. He wasn't afraid to work. And so he gave his labor. What else did he give? Verse 16, he says, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Not only did he work, but his servants worked. That's it. That's so good. His servants weren't serving him. They weren't dropping the grapes in his mouth. They weren't fanning him. They weren't taking care of his needs. No, they were working on what? The wall. Hey, the wall was built in record time. Why? Because people like Nehemiah gave. And he gave his labor and he gave his servants. But what else did he give? Verse 17, moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. That is an amazing thing. 150 of the people every day. He brought in 150 of the people, brought them in to his table. That's a big table. Brought in 150 of those poor people out there, and some of them that hadn't had a meal like this in a long time, brought in 150 of them, plus the rulers, plus strangers that came into the city. That's why they had to kill an ox and all the sheep and six sheep and fowls and all that. I mean, that's a lot of people to feed. 150. Plus rulers, plus strangers. He gave his meat. He gave his labor, his servants, and his own food. That's what he gave. And we come to number four, the last thing, and what Nehemiah prayed. What he prayed. Now you look at this, okay? He did not take from the people. He did not take because of the reasons that we gave. And they were all good spiritual reasons. Compassion, fear of God, shaming the others, good, being a good example. And he gave instead of taking. He gave his labor, his servants, his meat. But number four, what he prayed. And this is between him and God. Please don't misunderstand. This prayer, because of divine inspiration, is what he prayed to his God. He didn't put an ad. He didn't go door to door and tell everybody what a great guy he was. Vote for me again. Between him and God, he said, think upon me, my God, for good. That's so good. That is so good. He didn't get on television and tell everybody how wonderful he was. He didn't get on television and make a whole bunch of promises that he never intends to keep. He didn't do any of that. I mean, this is a different kind of a governor. Especially than Michigan has. It's true. It's between him and God. He said, "Think upon me, my God." Now, wait a minute. You know, when I'm telling Brother Kelvin, hey, you know, I did a lot of good stuff for Tim. I've done a whole lot of good stuff for Brother Hawkins. I've done a lot of good stuff for Brother Keith Monroe. You know, I'm telling Brother Kelvin, he doesn't know whether I have or not, does he? You know, he could walk away from that conversation and say, "Wow, Pastor's a pretty good guy." I mean, I could get up on TV and say all the great stuff I've done. And most of the people wouldn't have any idea. But you know what Nehemiah did? He went to the one who knows the record. He went to the one who knows exactly what he's done. That's why you can read verse 19 knowing he's not boasting about anything. He's not even wanting a pat on the back. Let's see what he really wants. This is what he prayed. The prayer was between him and God. And it's recorded because Nehemiah was a historian. And here's what he wants. He wants God to think upon him. Notice Psalm 40 in verse 5. Psalm 40 in verse 5. Psalms 40, verse 5. There were so many verses we could look at thinking about this, but I didn't want to be here all night. The Bible says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." Watch what it says. "And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And Nehemiah said, "I want you to think about me, God. Think upon me." And here's what he knows about God that we don't like to talk about. He knows about God that God will reward what we do. He knows that about God. Now I know, you know, we get pious all the time on it. Oh, you know, we ought to just love God and we ought to just do things because we love God. And you don't know what you're talking about. Because God is a rewarder. Look at Luke 14. Luke 14. Well, this is good stuff. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Just preached on it a couple Sunday mornings ago. "Behold, I come quickly, and my," what is with me? "Reward is with me." Luke 14, verse 12. But we Baptists kind of hide from that. We get scared of it a little bit. Verse 12, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors." Notice who you're not supposed to call? "Lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee." Isn't that what we do? Well, let's invite so-and-so. They'll invite us over afterwards. Let's invite such and such. They have a nice home. Maybe they'll have us over. Oh, let's take them out to eat. Then it'll be their turn next time. It's okay to, you know, you can sigh. That's what he says here. I mean, when you're going to make a dinner or supper, don't call all these other people. Here's who he says to call. "When thou makest a feast." Okay, if you're going to have TV dinners, have all those other folks over. But when you're going to have a feast, somebody said, "What do you mean? That is a feast." I understand. "When thou makest a feast," who do you call? The poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. We have it, preacher. That doesn't make sense because they can't have us over. That's what he said. Good observation. Well, yeah, but if I'm taking care of them, I mean, what? What kind of fun is that? Well, verse 14, "Thou shalt be blessed." How's that? "Thou shalt be blessed." Well, yeah, but they're not going to do it. Okay, let me ask you a question. Whose pockets do you want the reward to come from? Whose pockets do you want the... "For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Wait a minute. The resurrection of the just. Oh, those things are all eternal. So Brother Keith Monroe and his family, I can't afford that. If I have Brother Keith Monroe and his family, they don't need anything, do they? If I have them over and I'm counting on him to, recompense me, and so he says, okay, I'll return the favor, and we had them over and served them steaks, and he recompenses, and we have pork chops on the grill. This is sounding good, isn't it? Which is better? His pork chops on the grill that are going to be gone? Or when I get to heaven and everything there is eternal? Or Brother Monroe gets me a gift that rots? Or I go to heaven and get something that's gold? And it lasts forever? What do you suppose is better? You say, yeah, but no, do you get it? That's what Nehemiah knew. Do you know that? Do you know that? He knows God will reward. Which is better, man's recompense or God's recompense? Which is better? Mark 9, look at it. Mark 9. And verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know that not losing a reward, it means I get one. A cup of water to drink in my name. Amen. Oh, so many people say, well, we ought to just do that for nothing. And never do anything. Seriously. That's the attitude of so many. Well, you talk about rewards and we ought to do it. Bless God because we love God and never do a thing for anybody. I think reward's good. See, the key, though, about this whole thing is he knew God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You knew it was coming. Maybe. Just about done. Don't get nervous. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And watch this. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. But notice where it starts. There's faith, believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder, and that all takes faith. So in other words, preacher, if I invite some poor person over for a meal, or if I take them out to eat, or I give them $20, or I do something like that, you're telling me that I need to believe that God knows about that? That would be a nice thing for a Christian to believe. That'd be a good thing for a Christian to believe that God knows what they're doing. I want to tell somebody about it, because why? So they'll say, then that's your reward. I'd rather God talk about that in heaven than to have somebody say, here on earth. But see, that's our carnality. That's our flesh. We like a pat on the back every now and then. Nehemiah didn't care about the pat on the back. Here's what he cared about. God, you know. You know God. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Not done, just about. Luke 6. Luke 6. This is all good. You're awful quiet tonight. It's scary. Luke 6, verse 27. The Bible says, but I say unto you which hear. Can you hear? All right. Love your enemies. Oh, we don't like that, do we? Do good to them which hate you. We don't like that, do we? Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Oh, we really don't like that. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. We hate that. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Doesn't say as men do to you, it says as ye would that men should do to you. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? What is the big deal?
Well, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
Because they do good things for you. Tell the guy that does nasty things you love him. For sinners also love those that love them. That's what he says. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Do we get this? It's kind of hard to miss it, isn't it? But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Last time I preached like this, I don't know how many people asked for money. And your reward shall be great. Isn't that what it says? Hoping for nothing again. That's how you're supposed to lend. By the way, he does not say here you have to lend everybody, teenagers. He says, if you do lend, hope for nothing again. And your reward shall be what? Great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye should not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you. Again, that's a powerful passage of Scripture about what we're talking about here. Nehemiah said, God, you keep track. People all the time, well, I've done this for so-and-so, and they weren't thankful. I did this for such-and-such, and I never heard a word of thanks from them. I did this for this person. They never said a thing. You know what? None of that should matter, because he's keeping track. Now, I know it's tough, but don't tell a whole bunch of people, because you don't want to lose your reward. Amen. Because God keeps track. Think upon me, my God, for good. Notice the next word, according. Not because of all that I've done for this people, but according to all that I've done for this people. In other words, he said, God, I know you're keeping track. I know you know every ox. I know that you know every sheep. I know you know every bird that we've eaten. I know you know the money that I've spent. God, you have it all under control. And God, I just want you to think upon me for good. Because you know what? You're the God who gave it all to me. You're the God who provided me with the job as the cupbearer. God, if it were not for you, there'd be nothing in my savings account. God, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have these sheep. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have the ox. If it weren't for you, God, I could not do all of this. But God, what a wonderful God you are. You know, he really knew God. Do you know God? I'm telling you, God's keeping track. God knows about that $10 bill that you gave somebody. God knows about that. I often think back to this day, don't have any idea. Brenda and I were, we just started our church. It was probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years old. And we had a lot of financial needs. We always did. And I remember going out to my car. And I don't remember how long this happened. Several months this happened. Every Sunday night I went out to my car, there was $5 in my tape player. I quit playing tapes. There's no way I was going to take that chance. Do you remember that? And I had an old, I don't remember the car. It was an old car. Never locked it. Of course, in Burn, Indiana, you never locked your house. But I'd go out there, had no idea who did it. Have no idea to this day. Sometimes there'd be five $1 bills. Sometimes there'd be, I remember one time there was a $2 bill and three ones. Remember $2 bills? Those didn't last. And I've seen a few $3 bills with Bill Clinton's face on it. But I really have. I've seen them. And sometimes there was a $5 bill, but $5. And, you know, that wasn't a lot of money. But I can almost guarantee you, whoever gave that $5, it was a lot of money. You know what? Someday in heaven, I'm going to find out who that was, and someday in heaven, I'm going to see God give them a reward. And that reward, it's not going to be an ooey button. It's going to be something heavenly and eternal. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.